This is episode 121 of Extraordinary Women Radio.
Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey.
Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I am excited to introduce you to today's Extraordinary Women Radio guest, Cynthia Forsman. Cynthia is going to be one of our speakers at Extraordinary Women Ignite on November 7th through 9th in Golden, Colorado. And she's going to be sharing her powerful work around archetypes. Over the course of our lives and careers, we each experience moments of absolute clarity, the inner knowing that we are exactly where we're meant to be. Swiss psychotherapist Carl Jung would say these moments of insight point to our underlying archetypes, universal storylines that inform our passions, our personalities, and our pursuits. At Ignite, Cynthia will be helping our attendees look at pivotal life experiences through the lens of archetypes and learn how to use these timeless human themes to build their brands and businesses with a new level of awareness and intent. Cynthia will share how knowing your archetype can help you find the perfect words to articulate your deepest purpose, to grow from a place of strength and engage others authentically, and shine a light on shadow behaviors that may be blocking your next steps. I love Cynthia. She has built two very successful businesses, the first just under $1 million, centering on uncovering our unique stories and sharing them. With a passion for storytelling, she's helping cultivate the archetype medium for women to share their stories with one another. As an archetype explorer, she works with individuals to uncover and connect their hidden symbols, patterns, and passions that give their lives and work meaning. As a founding partner at Culture Talk, she helps organizations design cultures, brands, and communication programs that are driven from a place of authenticity and deep awareness. Cynthia facilitates strategic focus groups with executives, boards, and leaders who share a stake in the culture and communications. She has led award-winning rebranding projects and designed strategic communications and team-building programs to recruit, retain, and engage top talent. She is known for her warmth and her humor, and she speaks to diverse audiences about the power of story in creating culture, inspiring purpose, and enhancing fulfillment. I am so honored to introduce you to Cynthia Forsman of Culture Talk, and I can't wait for you to meet her at Extraordinary Women Ignite in November. Let's meet Cynthia. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Cynthia.
Ah, thank you, Cami.
Yeah, it's such an honor to have you join me, and I'm so grateful for our very dear mutual friend, Christine Kopic, who has introduced us a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Christine is amazing. And when I first met her, she said, I need to introduce you to Cami. And she's been really great about opening up her network to me.
Yeah, it's funny because she and I have known each other for a very, very long time, like 25 years. So she's a very dear friend. I really appreciate her so much. And I appreciate her introducing me to so many amazing women just like you. So from the very first time we met a few years ago, I have admired your work, and I'm really thrilled to have you joining us in November as one of our Extraordinary Women Ignite speakers.
I can't wait for that event. I missed it last year because I was out of town, but it was on my list, and now I'm excited both to attend and also to share some of the work we're doing.
Yeah, the whole archetypes is going to fit so well in the mix of what we're doing as we're helping people, as we're helping the women that are attending tune into that inside of who they are, that very essence of who they are to build their brand. And I think this is going to be amazing to bring your work into the mix of that.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, so you are now working on your second business, and both of your business have really been centered on uncovering our unique stories and sharing them. I love your business building story. You were telling me about this a few weeks ago, and I would love for you to share it with our listeners. So give us the high level view of how your businesses have come about.
Yeah. So interestingly, you know, I think today it's very popular to think of being an entrepreneur. There's business schools that teach entrepreneurship. But back when we started our first business, which is Allegory Studios, in the early 2000s, I don't think it was that hip. As a matter of fact, I started the business with one of my sisters. Her name is Teresa, and she and I have been partnered both in Allegory, the original business, and in Culture Talk since the first day. So somebody I've known my entire life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we were living in the east of the United States. She was in New York. I was in Washington, D.C., and we were both working as freelancers. But it was during those years when we first started having children and starting our family, and had left full-time careers and were trying to figure out that age-old question of how to make it all work. And it was early on in the time when laptops and cell phones and other things that would allow us to be away from an office were just coming into being. So I would tell you, it was almost accidental that we did it. We were freelancing separately for separate clients. And at some point, she and I looked at what we were doing together, kind of covering, you know, she'd call me to cover for her on vacation and vice versa. And we said, wow, this is actually its own business. And so
cool. And have you been, you've been partnered together since then?
Yeah. Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
That's really beautiful.
It's better than 20 years. And people ask us all the time, how do you work with your sibling? Mm-hmm. But we actually have never worked in the same office. We've always been remote to each other. And in many ways, you know, she's been the other half of my brain. So it's worked very beautifully for us. But early on when we did Allegory, you know, we were kind of a marketing agency, just small shop, helping small businesses get going with logos and brochures. It even predated really websites. While we were doing that work with our kids at home, you know, you would take your phone and kind of go into the closet because you didn't want your clients to know you were working from home. So I say all that just to say how times have changed.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's like how times have changed. I was being interviewed on a podcast yesterday, so I was getting to be interviewed and the grandchild was in the background and we were chuckling about that. It's like how things have changed. And, you know, and I think that's the beautiful, the openness to it and the mindset that has shifted around being able to have kids in our life and be able to work, right? I mean, it's kind of a fact of life. So what a beautiful change that has made.
I totally agree. And for those of us, I hate to say we sort of paved the way for the next generation in terms of creating those kinds of work environments. But, you know, we started with Allegory Studios, and shortly into the launch of our branding, you know, our marketing business, we got into building brands. And I know we're going to talk a lot about archetypes, but I had a very formative experience back when I lived in Washington, D.C., of meeting someone who was working with archetypal storylines. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, but, you know, once we latched on to archetypes as a framework for working with clients around their brand and their marketing programs, that was just such a powerful way of helping leaders bring their teams together, articulate kind of their, you know, passion, their purpose, and even kind of a growth strategy. So while we came through the door of helping a company build a brand, once they became familiar with their own archetypal storylines, they kept calling us back. They wanted more. They wanted to, you know, how do I train my leaders around these core stories? How do I build out a marketing program? How do I recruit people that get it, that get what is, you know, super special about who we are and our story?
And let's pause before you go any further, because just go into a little bit about what is an archetype? You know, just to make sure that we're getting everybody on the same page here.
Yeah, it's a great question. 20 years ago, when we were using the word archetype, I don't think very many people at all knew the word. I think it's more common today. It's used more often today. Mm-hmm. But we definitely had people look at us cross-eyed when we came in and said we were going to talk about their archetypes. But archetype comes out of Carl Jung and Jungian psychology. Many people are familiar with Jung because of the Myers-Briggs assessment tools, which are also come out of Jungian psychology. And archetypes are sort of, we consider them the other half of the Jungian whole. They are universal, timeless storylines and characters that he considered part of the collective unconscious. The idea that we shared as human beings an understanding of these timeless storylines. So some of the archetypes, you know, are stories like hero and creator and magician and ruler. And no matter, his theory was no matter where you were in the world, from a time standpoint or a geography standpoint, as human beings, we understand kind of the motivations, the passions, the strengths, and the shortcomings of those storylines.
And so you were bringing these in to work with these corporate partners and helping them look at their brands, helping them work with, through leadership opportunities and changes and strategy, and bringing this wonderful ancient stories, basically, storylines to the table to help facilitate those conversations.
That's exactly right. And I would say that the power behind it, the reason it was so powerful, is because stories are really for human beings. It's how we make sense of the world, right? It's how we communicate. It's how we remember things. It's how we carve out what's meaningful in our lives is through stories. And so to be able to bring that in, you know, in and make help organizations uncover what are those deeper storylines running through our organization and how do we capitalize on those things to really be authentic in a brand. And in talking about what we're all about and how we get things done.
That's awesome. And how was it received? And when you started, I mean, I'm just thinking back in 2000, even this was really cutting edge, right?
Right.
You have some people looking at you like you're doing what?
At every single early project, we used to have what we would call the doubting Thomas. Only sometimes it was the doubting Ted or the doubting Max or the doubting Valerie. And so every time we came into a group session talking about archetypes and teaching about these storylines, there was somebody in the back of the room with their arms crossed who often was very verbal about their objection to doing this.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do with those people?
Yeah, so, you know, we welcomed objections. And the reason is because often those people who are the rejectors, you know, they just they have a different archetype, right? They may have an archetypal story running through their own life that is more into needing proof, into digging for truth, and taking their time to evaluate how things are going to go, maybe a little less trusting early on. And so what we would find is we'd allow the objections, and we knew we had won when Ted, you know, was at the front of the room going, oh my gosh, here's how I own this idea. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite experiences, we worked with a trucking company over a long period of time. And there was a person there who was very unhappy about having to go through this rebranding process. And then fast forward a couple of years later, and I actually heard him introduce himself at a very large meeting using the language of the brand story that we developed for that firm through archetypes. Oh, and at that point, it was like he owned it. And so I think you got to give people time to process and have their own experience until they kind of flip and begin to own it. But I think over the years, even with objections, we have trusted the process because archetypes are human storylines, and people get them very, very quickly, and they're lasting. So it's been a process that's been very successful for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what happened is the company continued. I mean, you grew it quite large. Tell us more.
Yeah. So, you know, for 15 plus years, we ran Allegory Studios. We had, during that time, I would say, you know, half dozen or more really long-term pivotal clients that latched on to the concept of their archetypal storylines and then would bring us in a very expanded way to tell their story, to launch it, to build the team programs around it, the recruiting programs. They had a lot of success with clients who were kind of ready for the next phase of their business. They had already established a certain level of success, and now they were ready to grow in a bigger way. And so we considered that work kind of rebranding projects. And they sustained us over, you know, 10 to 15 years. Our team grew during that time, and we went from being kind of a small little agency to almost hitting $1 million mark with these long established clients who couldn't get enough of now, how can we apply the archetype in a different way?
And what kind of companies were you working with?
We worked a lot with organizations in transportation. We worked a lot with professional services firms. We worked here in Colorado with a couple of nonprofits and women-owned businesses. And several of the projects that we, you know, established, like what we started to see is our clients showing up on the front covers of magazines in their industries.
Oh, nice.
We started
doing something right? They were tuning into that.
I think that when a company really owns who they are and why people should work with them, that is an attractive force. And so what we saw is that they gained a lot of confidence in talking about their businesses and being intentional about what they were trying to create.
But you know what I love about, we are so aligned on this, and this is what you and I have found, right? When I'm working with my clients on building their brand, it's like, be who you are. Don't try to be something else. And if you are getting into the heart of who you are, at your very essence, at your archetype levels, we are stepping into a space that I believe the universe really gets all in behind us.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that we, you know, are in a society and in a time in the world when there's so much emphasis on externals. And more and more to like be able to, we had a lot of clients that would come to us looking at what all their competitors did. And so what we had to say is, yeah, it's important to know what your competitors are doing, but that's not who you are. So if we're going to talk about who you are, we have to look inward and find a way of expressing that feels like you, right? That feels like your personal thumbprint that you can own.
Right. As far as my consultant and coaching clients, I'm actually even saying to them, I don't care who your competitors are. I want you to find your lane. And, you know, and it's different when you're talking about a larger organization, or if you're talking about a solopreneur as a coach or a consultant. When you're building that brand for a coach or a consultant, there isn't anybody like them if they're building a brand from the inside out. And so I think it's a beautiful way to approach your markets from a much more abundant space.
Yeah.
When you step into it that way.
Absolutely. And I would, say that the being unique piece, I think that's true for any business, even if it is larger, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, two companies can offer the exact same set of services or same products. And what draws people to that is they feel a connection. Mm-hmm. And that connection, there's an evaluation of money and other things. But if we are consistently telling the story about our business and behaving around in the business of doing our business, intentionally, right? That says something. As a matter of fact, I think, you know, for larger organizations, especially, the world today is transparent, right? People can see what's on our Facebook page, yes, what's in our videos, what's in our reviews, what's on Glassdoor. And so the ability to have what is reflected out there as a brand mirror what's happening internally in our organization is really important. And I don't think people expect perfection, right? But they expect us to be intentional and consistent and trying. And I think that's one of the reasons archetypes are powerful, because, you know, archetypes are human storylines. They're not perfect. They're relatable. If your organization or your coaching practice, if you align with a particular archetypal story, it's like, you know, the creator has awesome strengths, but the creator also has shadow. And that's part of the whole idea of archetype is it comes in one package. And so if I'm really good at something, I also may not be aware of some of the shadow tendencies of that same storyline. So it gives us that opportunity to sort of integrate and look at both what's lost on me, what I'm kind of dragging into the room with me.
Right, right. And how did your business, because there's a shift that comes, right, through this whole journey.
Yeah.
So you're doing this amazing work. You've had these longstanding clients, but what happened?
Well, you know, we were, something very specific happened. And that's that, you know, when I discovered archetypes, I had, when I was back in Washington, D.C., met and studied with a woman by the name of Carol Pearson, who has met numerous books out on archetypes, and really archetypes have been, Jungian psychology has been the focus of her academic research. So one thing that happened is I had certified to use one of Carol's assessment tools, and that's what we built Allegory around. When we went in to do a branding project, we offered the client this cultural assessment that we were certified to deliver. And that's, you know, that was the basis of it. So Carol's tool went off the market. The tool that we built Allegory around for 20 years went off the market. So that presented a oh no, what are we going to do?
Exactly.
But also in the years that we were using that tool, we felt like there was such a bigger opportunity for it. If it was branded differently, if it was expanded, if it was applied differently. And so, you know, we had reached out to Carol about doing some of those things. When she sold it, we reached out to the new owner about doing some of those things, and there just wasn't that interest. And we said, okay, there's the universe giving us that kick in the butt to go, you know what, it's time to build our own tool.
Right.
And so in part, we did it out of necessity to keep going with the work we were doing. But in part, we also felt like there's only so much impact we can make as a, you know, small boutique-ish branding agency working with, you know, a half dozen clients in a year. And we know how impactful that work has been as we've seen, you know, our clients rise and ask for more. We want this framework, this archetypal concept, to be available to more people. And so we formed Culture Talk as a second business. And through Culture Talk, we have built our own archetypal assessment tool, an organizational culture survey. It uses the same 12 archetypes that were part of Carol Pearson's work, but we've put, you know, we had to build it from scratch, which was a huge learning experience.
Right.
And then that was our first year. In our second year, we said, you know what, we also know that individuals are, you know, expressions of archetypal patterns. And so we built a second tool that measured archetype in individual experience. So there are two tools, and that's what we did in our first 2 years. And then in the third year, we actually created a certification and training program where we are certifying other consultants and coaches to take the concept of archetypes, the tools that we've built, and years worth of facilitation materials, and to grow their businesses around archetype.
I love that you've done that. And it's talk about the ripple effect of your work by expanding that to other coaches and consultants. They're sharing it with all of their clients. And it's just so many more people are becoming much more attuned to that very core of who they are.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. And so that's, how long ago did you do that?
Yeah, so we launched Culture Talk in 2015. Well, we formed it in 2015. We launched it in 2016. So we're just at around 3 years of having products to sell.
Yeah, that's awesome. And why do you think archetypes are so important right now?
Yeah. I think that, you know, if you think about modern life and you think about the pace of modern life and the distractions, you know, so prevalent in modern life, and you think about even the divisiveness that exists, you know, all the reasons why it's us and them and who we like and who's not in our group and so forth. I think what happens when we watch people go through an archetypal experience, whether it be looking at their own archetypes or looking at the archetypes that are prevalent in their business, what we see is, how are we connected? How are we, you know, how can we create meaning in what we're doing? How can we become more compassionate in understanding who other people are and how they show up? You know, we know that meaning is, the millennials are demanding meaning, right? We know that you know, business is, you know, hiring is a huge hurdle.
And I think even beyond millennials, I think women my own age have been leaving the corporate world in droves because they want to make a difference in some sort of way. I mean, the community of women that I get to be in on a day-to-day basis are women who want to make a difference. So there's this, yes, the millennials are doing it, but I think, you know, you could look across just about any age group that's out there right now, and there is this call to step up and show up and really make an impact with their work.
Yeah. And I think that there is a desire. I mean, we want to know why, you know, we want to have a purpose. We, people and organizations that operate from a place of purpose.
Yes.
Right? You know, that's an entirely different, different proposition. And you know, we love when Simon Sinek came out. For a long time before he came out, we were always talking about the why of your business.
Oh, yes. I love
that.
And
then he came out and said it. We were like, oh, we wish we said it first. But, you know, we'll even take it a step beyond the why and ask, what's the who of your business? Who's doing the why, right? And how do we weave together all of our experience? Because, you know, I have a quote that I cut out of a magazine 15 plus years ago and framed, and it still sits on my desk, and it's from Martha Graham, who was a dancer and a choreographer, and it says, there is an energy, a life pulse that passes through you into action, and because there is only one of you in all of time, that expression is unique. And I think it's a call.
Who said this?
Martha Graham.
Okay.
And I might not have had it 100%, but it's...
But I love what it stands for.
Yeah, and I think it says for people who are, you know, to your point about professional women who are now moving into a new phase in their career where they're trying to carve out who am I and what do I have to offer? You know, our archetypal storylines are something we can trace, you know, from our early days through our career, through our personal experiences, our professional experiences. They form this very unique point of view that has become you. And I think archetypes offer a framework for helping people express that.
That's so beautiful. So how did your personal and your family background influence and shape your purpose and your work that you're doing today with archetypes?
Yeah. So Teresa, my business partner and sister, and I, we grew up in a family of 10 kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So not only if you add the archetypal framework we use has 12 archetypes. So, you know, she and I have had a lot of fun typing all of our siblings and our parents. And so we have one person for every one of our 12 archetypes. But I think growing up in a large family, it's almost like growing up in a little organization. It's run like a little small business. I mean, we had a dining room table that was like the boardroom, and we had, you know, roles and responsibilities. And I think one of the things our parents did really well was acknowledge our strengths as individuals. So even though we were part of this group and we needed to get along and collaborate and resolve conflicts, all of which can be done with archetype. The other piece was, you know, they would acknowledge me. There's two things that really come to mind for me. One is, out of the group of 10 children, I got sent for all the art lessons. So there was an acknowledgement early on in my life that I had this creative energy. And in fact, today I would tell you that my number one archetype is that creator storyline. But to know that it was with me back in the beginning when they were sending me off for watercolor and other lessons that only I got.
Right. Right.
Another way that they acknowledged me in the family was, they considered me the peacemaker, and they would like give me awards for being the peacemaker, which could be as simple as giving up the seat that two children were arguing about or over the dinner table. But I remember wearing that really proudly, right? Mm-hmm. And knowing, you know, peacemaker being a story about harmony. So another one of my archetypes is the lover archetype, which is a lot about finding consensus and harmony and making people important. So I think just, you know, the ability to recognize in our little group of 10 plus two parents that we had different strengths, and passions, and that we could operate. We had a culture in our family. And both of those things represent what we do now through Culture Talk in helping organizations look at their cultural archetypes and in helping individuals look at their individual archetypal patterns.
That's so beautiful. And what a blessing to have seen some of those threads early on in your life, but then later to be able to connect that, right? It's like to really be able to ground that.
Yeah. You know, we talk often when we're, you know, facilitating conversations about looking for those pivotal, it's like your archetypal storyline's already there, right? And so to be looking for those pivotal things that stand out at different times in your life, those moments when you kind of knew you had chills, right? You were on the right path. Something happened that really, it conjured up what you do in a way that nobody else does. And to know that those are kind of clues to what storylines you're here living now, and how do you, you know, archetypes become sort of this red thread that you can use to tie together all of those, you know, seemingly singular experiences that have informed and shaped who you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm excited to have you be bringing archetypes to Ignite in November. I think it's going to be amazing. Tell us more what our attendees will experience with you and your talk.
Yeah, so I want to take a look. I want to offer a little bit of an opportunity for people in the audience to reflect on some of those pivotal moments, and to see how, you know, the framework we use is 12 archetypes, but when people are looking at their own archetypes, they're really looking at, are there three or four patterns that have continued to show up for them, and how do I start to uncover what those storylines are, and how do I start to weave them into something meaningful? So, you know, we do a whole, we're going to have an experience like that, I would say.
That's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome. I'm so excited. And how is Culture Talk really positioned to help other coaches and consultants expand their business?
Right. So I mentioned one of the reasons we, you know, felt a need to begin Culture Talk was because we wanted to take the work further. We wanted more people to have access to this really kind of game-changing, powerful concept that we didn't create, but we were able to capitalize in Allegory. And so today we actually certify other coaches and consultants to use the archetypal assessment tools that we've built and the workshops and facilitation experiences that we have built. And so we offered them the opportunity to say, hey, this is one way of approaching how I'm going to work with my clients. So we're building a whole community of people that are taking archetypes and kind of taking their own spin on it and taking it, you know, we kind of kid and we say we're standing on Carol Pearson's shoulders, she's standing on Carl Jung, and there are a whole bunch of people now that are taking the work we've built and they're standing on our shoulders. That's and awesome. Bringing it to more people.
Yeah, so, that's yeah. So awesome. And where can people learn more about you and your work?
Really easy. The website is culturetalk.com.
I love that name, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a name change at the last minute, which is another story. But branding is always so.
Yes.
Branding is
naming anything is always an interesting journey.
Yeah, but I also think that it's the right name. Yeah. It's what businesses are focused on right now is how do I. Culture is a key differentiator to the businesses that are going to be here, and how do they get intentional about, you know, building leaders and teams and cultures that are meaningful, intentional, etc. So I think it's the right name.
So it's culturetalk.com.
Culturetalk.com.
Very good. And on a social, is there social?
Everything, all of our social is attached to our website. We are big on Facebook and moving into Twitter in a bigger way. We have a LinkedIn group called Culture Talk at Work. And anyone is welcome to join that group. And then within our partner community, we have some other, you know, channels. If that was an interest to people to learn more about that, they can certainly reach out to me.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So the final question we always close with is, what three pearls of wisdom can you share with our audience today?
I love your question.
Me lots of good answers over the years, so I love it too.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you three, and then I'm going to go back and explain them. I think we need to be convicted. I think we need to be unique, and I think we need to be open. And what I mean is, you know, if you have a big idea, if you have, you know, even if you don't know how yet to get it out there, it's the things that we're convicted about that we are able to grow, that we are able to. There's been a lot of pain and challenge in trying to transition between Allegory and Culture Talk, and holding on to the deeper conviction of why is it important to get this work out there keeps us going on the days where we go, what are we doing and why did we start a second business?
Right.
You know, there's a driving desire to see the world become more conscious through the work of archetypes. Be unique. You and I already talked about it. It's that there is only one of you in all time, and own it, right? You don't want to be like somebody else or another version of somebody else. Be you. And then I say be open because I think, you know, the further we get in our careers, the more we develop an expertise, the more we think we have the answers. And, you know, it's humbling to start a second business.
Absolutely. And for us to start that second business, right? So to be open to it.
Well, and to be open to learning again, making room and being, you know, kind of a receiver of ideas and advice and new ways of thinking about things because, you know, we've got to keep learning. So be convicted, unique, and open. Those are my three pearls.
No, that's awesome, Cynthia. It's been such a pleasure, and I am so excited to have you as part of our speaking team in November at Ignite, and I'm honored to know you.
Yeah, Cami, I appreciate so much the opportunity to share this work and to get to know you and your work better and be part of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you have an awesome day and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to visit me at camigelner.com to find out how you can make heartfelt connections to mindful strategies to ignite an abundant flow of cash and clients into your business. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.